Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Chet. We're holding on the last line of Ayin Zayin Amud Beit, and we've been dealing with the question of what is it that would integrate two chatzerot that are separated by a wall in such a way that either the wall would be accessible so that the top of the wall would be considered accessible to one side, or alternatively, if you've got an access on both sides, that it would make the two chatzerot able to be ma'ariv one and to be mishtatef as if they had a petach together. So the question was, how could we make this wall lower, so to speak, than it is by simply adding to the ground that was on the side of the wall? So we were talking about ladders, and we were talking about shelving. And the last thing that we had was V'omer ben Achmud, Omer Rabba bar Avua. This takes us to Ayin Chet Amud Aleph. The din about Aziz, Hayotzei min HaKotel. So Aziz is basically, you know, sort of like a shelf, except that when you're talking about stone walls, it actually consists of like a piece of stone that's jutting out. And it's sticking out in the middle of this wall that is between two chatzerot. And this ziz is four tochim. Now, our girsa here is arba'al arba'a, four tochim by four tochim. This, despite the fact, Rashi yesterday said that you don't need four by four. You only need four running, not four. And that was talking about the case where you've got a ladder or shelving. Well, for some reason over here, this particular ziz that's in the middle of the wall, the girsa that we have in Rashi as well, is that we have four by four. Now, there are others, other Rishonim would take out the four by four. We'll see why it would be different. V'niach alav sulam kolshehu, you put a ladder up against it. So then what you've done is you've been memayit the wall. But this is only if, otve ale, if you put the ladder up against the actual ledge that was jutting out, the shelf. Aval otve bade, if you just put it against it along the same length of the wall, it wouldn't help, because then you wouldn't be doing anything. All you would be doing is lengthening that ledge. But what connects that ledge to the ground? That's the question. So remember the case that we had yesterday was that if you have even the bottom part of a ladder, staircase, or shelving system, which was large enough to be a petach at the bottom. And when it's at the bottom, remember what we mean is that it's within three tefachim of the ground. Now, if it's within three tefachim of the ground, it's unimportant to Rashi how wide it is. It's only important how long it is. Because since it's within three tefachim of the ground, it's essentially a heightening of the ground all around. What difference does it make to me whether it extends more than a few tefachim towards me? That's not important. What's important is that it's usable. Masha Inkein, if you don't start on the ground, you're starting up in the middle of the kotel. So we had a case where you've got, let's say, a sulam that is too small at the bottom. It's not four tefachim at the bottom. And at the top, it widens. That's also okay. But over there, it's also because it is part of the ground. Now, over here, you put a sulam up against it. So what connects this shelf to the ground if it's only up against it? Because since the shelf itself is more than three tefachim, and the ladder doesn't have the length of four tefachim at all, so nothing is going to help unless you make this all one ladder, so to speak. And how do you do that? By putting the top of the ladder up against the shelf. So then the shelf represents a broadening of the ladder. But over there, it has to be four by four because there was no other place where you started with the petach. That, I think, is the logic of the sugya that we have over here. Okay, so does this make sense? It's very important to start the daf off with something that makes sense, because this is going to continue on now through the rest of the daf. So let's talk about So we've got these ideas, right? So we're talking about an opening. An opening has a technical meaning of being the same thing like that DACA was. It's got to be 4x4 in order for you to get through it and so on. We've got the other idea in which we're being memayate the karka, not necessarily that it needs to be an opening. Then the two ideas come together when we want to put the two chatzerot together by having one going up one way and one coming down the other way. And so all of those various issues are going to come into play over here. Let's take a case that is similar to this one, but over here we've got a very high wall. So we've got very high. I mean, in terms of the numbers we've been talking about. So we've got a 19 tefachim high wall. Why specifically 19? Very simple. Because if we had this ledge that was sticking out in the middle of that wall, so then you'd have less than 10 in one direction and less than 10 in the other vertical direction, right? So then it would be easy to put one Z's, if you have this one shelf that's sticking out in the middle of the wall, then everything would be okay because then you would have access to the top simply by putting a ladder up against it. So you need only one Z's. But suppose it would be 20, just one tefach more. Then you would need actually two Z's because you would need to put one that was inside of 10 tefachim from the bottom and then one that was inside of 10 tefachim from the top. And you'd have to make it possible to carry, I say carry, to get from one Z's to the other in a way that is actually logistically possible, which would mean you would have to offset them. Because that way, what would you do? You would put a ladder going up to Z's number one. You'd climb up to Z's number one, but then you would need another ladder sort of on its side that would enable you to climb up to Z's number two, and then you would be within 10 tefachim of the upper wall, which would make that wall within 10 tefachim of your chutz. Amar Rav Huna, I mean, talking about this issue where we're trying to discuss how it is that we could be memayit something. This is really a little bit tangential, but it opens up this idea of being memayit. So remember that we need to have, in order to have the definition of Rosh HaYochid, we need to have something that's 10 tefachim high, and it needs to be 4x4. So let's imagine a case, says Rav Huna, where we've got this little post thing in the middle of Rosh HaRabim. It's 10 tefachim high, and it's precisely 4x4. So then it's Rosh HaYochid. If you put something from the Rosh HaRabim into it, you would be chayav on hotza, right? Now, suppose in the middle of this amud, you put in like a little piece of wood that's sticking out, or a peg of some kind you bang into, right? Since it was exactly 4x4, it's no longer 4x4. So now you were memayet the usable area on top of that amud. And therefore now it is not considered to be a Rosh HaYochid. So if you were not atzbo yatet koshu, you would be memayet it from its 4x4. Omer avada baravo, it depends how high the peg is, doesn't it? I mean, if the peg is within 3 tefachim of the top of the amud, don't we consider it to be lovut? And Abaya, Rav Adamri Tavar, what does Lovan have to do with it? The question is whether you have a 4x4 tefachim usable surface. And you do not. Because it's not usable. You got this thing sticking up in the middle. Because lo mishtamish lei. So who cares whether it's within Lovan or not within Lovan? Ravashi says, I say exactly the opposite. I say no matter how high it is, there's not a problem. Why? Because if you've got a peg, isn't it usable for hanging something on? In other words, one of the ways of using this surface is for me to hang a bag on it, right? So if I have a peg, can I hang the bag on the peg? Yeah. So why would that be memayet the tashmish? It's only memayet it in one way, but it adds an additional usage. So what's the difference? I say that's perfectly okay. So let me ask you something. That's the point? I mean, look, suppose you take a bunch of nails, right? And you cover the entire top with nails that are sticking up. Now, unless you're a swami, you're going to have a very difficult time sitting on that ledge or using it for something, right? So the question is that considered to be, what would you call that? Would you consider, we should say, okay, because you can like tie something around each nail? Or Marley, what kind of question is that? That obviously is Rosh Hashanah, because that's exactly like the case that we had back in Shabbos. Remember what Rabbi Yochanan said on the Mishnah. He was medayik from the Mishnah that bor v'chu yatom mitzteref la'asara. So what happens over there? You dig a bor. A bor, in order to be Rosh Hashanah, would have to be 10 tefachim deep and be 4x4, right? But suppose the bor isn't 10 tefachim deep. However, when you dug the bor, you threw up the dirt from the bor around the edges of the bor. So now, between the bottom of the bor and the ground level, let's say, is only 5 tefachim. But you've got another 5 tefachim and all of the dirt that you've put around the edge of the bor. So that essentially, inside the bor, you are within a 10 tefachim high enclosed area, 5 of it enclosed by the depth under the surface of the earth, and 5 of it because you built up the chulia around the edge of the bor. We were medayik from the Mishnah, put together a bor, together with a sela, which there's no point in. Rabbi Yochanan is medayik, but that comes to tell me exactly this point. Bor v'chuliyato mitztaref la'asara. Now, if it's mitztaref la'asara, then we are assuming that it would also be mitztaref la'arba'a, right? So in other words, from the outside of the bor, if you would put something on the chulia, then you would be putting something on a reshus hayachid, and you would be chayev. Now, how do you have reshus hayachid if your 4x4 area has got a big hole in the middle? And the hole being, of course, the bor. And that hole is certainly going to be mamai at the surface. So how isn't that the same thing over here? If you mamai at the surface by putting a peg on it? So obviously, a ma'islach lamema, what's the point? The point is that it's still perfectly usable. I mean, if you want to use it as a surface, you take a piece of wood and you put the wood over the top of it, right? So now it's usable. So you can't tell me that just because I have a frame for Arba al Arba, that's not good enough. So Koshkin over here, what do you tell me? That only a swami can sit on it. And if you put a board on it and you sit down on it, that's not good enough. You put whatever you want. So therefore, it is possible for it to use it. Tzachinami, manach, minim, mishtamish, same thing over here. So even if you covered the entire surface with nails, it wouldn't make any difference. Anyway, let's get back to our sugya. Now, says Rav Yoram Shmuel, a wall that's 10 tefachim high, you can't put the ladder vertically up against the wall because it's very hard to utilize that kind of ladder as a petach. So then you would need a ladder that would be 14 tefachim long in order to put it at an angle so that you would be able to carry. Now, Rashi understands the sugya in a very simple way, and he holds that the sugya is simply trying to make things easy for you. We're not analyzing the Pythagorean diagonal of the distance of the ladder as a diagonal because it's not supposed to be up against the wall. He's pointing out the total number of amos of tefachim that you would have to count, not the diagonal. So when it says you would need 14, according to Rashi, what it means is count out 4 tefachim that would be towards the ladder, and then put the ladder down at the end of 4 tefachim from the wall, and then put it up at an angle, and you have a 10 tefachim ladder. Obviously, it's going to need to be longer than that if you want to get to the top of the wall, but he's not talking about adding to the diagonal. So you would need a ladder 14 tefachim long in order to be matirid, and that would give me, according to Rashi, the 10 tefachim to get to the top of the wall, and also 4 tefachim so that it's not right smack bang up against the wall. Tosfos understands it very differently. He thinks that we're talking about the diagonal, and because of that, he understands that the different measurements are measurements of how close to the top of the wall you need to get, and you never, according to anybody, need to get all the way up to the top of the wall. Okay. We'll take the simple approach of Rashi. Rav Yosef says, why do you need 14? you only need to get within a tefach of the top. So if it gets up to within a tefach, there would be no problem. So measure only 4 tefachim to the ladder, and then you only need another 9 tefachim plus a little bit. So within a tefach, it's like it's on the top of the wall. Abaye says, I don't understand why you need within a tefach. You just need for it to be lovud. It needs to be within 3 tefachim. So according to that, it would only need to be 11, which brings you into 3 plus a little bit more, because lovud has to be within 3 and not 3, right? So even if it's 11 plus something, it's close enough. And Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua says, why does it have to be that? Even if it's 7 plus a little bit, it would also be good. Why is that? Obviously, because he holds it can be mamish vertical. So if it gets within 3 tvachim of the top, which is 7 plus a little bit, it doesn't have to be pulled out from the wall at all. So there's no need to add anything else for the additional incline. And he holds that a vertical ladder is completely kosher, apparently. So that's a whole new Kiddush. And he's quoting that, actually, because of Rav. Rav says that a sulam zakuf mema'et, a completely vertical ladder, is also mema'et. I was mekabel this from my Rebbe. I can't say I understand why it's true, but it's a Gemara. V'lo yadana, my time, I don't really understand why it's true. I don't understand why it doesn't have to be logistically usable. And you're telling me it can be vertical. I mean, it's not really usable. Omar Shmuel, now Shmuel, Lamaitse Shmuel personally disagrees, as we just saw. But Shmuel says, Abba doesn't know the reason for this. Why does he say he doesn't know? Remember that he called Rav Abba, and that we had the two different approaches, that Rav was his real name, and Abba was a name that was respectful, and or vice versa. His real name was Abba, and he was called Rav. But anyway, why don't you know? Didn't we have the case? Look, remember how we started this whole business yesterday? We talked about somebody who's putting up like bookcases up against the wall, and he's going to use the bookcases. So that was the case of the Itztaba. But one Itztaba on top of another Itztaba. And we said over there that that's okay. How did you understand that? I mean, didn't you understand that by looking at it as a petach? And a petach, as we're going to see, is a legal term. And it does not necessarily mean that you're going to be using this petach. We're going to be getting into that sugya later. What defines the nature of petach? It's just the fact of there being a petach, which is similar to the concept of mechitza. It's just a fact. Or does it actually refer to a logistical petach? So I personally, says Shmuel, I hold, look, if you're talking about a ladder, then you're not talking about a petach. You're talking about logistical access. Because it isn't 4x4, the ladder. It's just the construct that you're making because you're adding the lovud area between the actual stairs. So over there, personally, I believe that it has to be on an incline in order to make it logistically available. But, I mean, look, the case of the Itztaba is clearly saying that there's an alternative, and that alternative is that there's a petach, even though it's obviously not going to be easy climbing up a bookshelf in order to get to the top of a wall. So the idea, therefore, is that a petach is a petach is a petach. That's all. So why do you think that the latter is fundamentally different? Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Chia. There's other things I just want to point out we were talking about yesterday, says Rabba, that we were talking about yesterday, things that are meant to remain there the whole Shabbos. So you know, in Bavel, what they do is they use like big pieces of palm trees that have been cut, and they use them to sit on, or they use them to stand on, or whatever. So they use them as ladders. So if you got some of these dekalim, even though they're mutter to be moved on Shabbos, because they used to sit on them, so they're not considered to be mukta, they don't need to be permanently attached to the wall. Why? The same reason we said yesterday. They're too heavy. Kovdan is kvedan or kovatan. The fact that they're heavy means people do not generally just come over and move it. It weighs like 60, 70 pounds. The housewife is not going to come and take a big, gigantic piece of wood and move it around. And Rabbi Yosef, Omer Rabbi Hoshaya, says, look, even these ladders that they use in Bavel, they use these gross ladders that are like really heavy. And so what is the reason for that? Because again, kveidan or kovatan. So if you're going to tell me that the ladders are considered to be kovat, kol shekein the dekolim, which are like really heavy. If you're talking about the dekolim, maybe ladders not. Maybe ladders are more movable. There's another approach to this, which is a ladder is more similar to a kli, and people are used to picking it up, moving it, but not the, so, but whatever it is. Okay, now the question is like this. When we're talking about a ladder, now remember that especially if we now understand the nature of the ladder to be defined as a petach, as opposed to a truly logistical access, which would have a proper incline and so on, which Shmuel says you need, then it's very clear why we would ask a question like this. We said that the ladder has to be for tvachim running length, right? Okay. Suppose I don't have a four tvachim ladder running length. I've got two thin little ladders, each one of which is good enough for 1 foot. So I put these two ladders, one up against the other, but I still don't have four tvachim. Each one is a little bit less than two tvachim. So the question is like this. Can I add a little piece between the two ladders that is not made out of wood? I just put it there more as an indication that it's all one piece. So I take a straw or a cardboard piece from a carton that I cut down. I attach the carton between the two shlavim of the ladders, the two rungs of the two ladders. So it looks sort of like all one ladder. I mean, is that enough to make it into a petach because I've made like a formal ladder or not? So I use straw in the middle. What's the din? Amar lei, so Rabbi told Rabbi Yosef, you can't use that as a ladder because it's even if it's a formal petach, it has to be at least usable. There's two different things. There's convenience and usability. The way that a ladder is used is that people put their feet towards the middle of the rung of the ladder. And over here, the middle of the rung of the ladder is made out of cardboard or straw, and obviously you can't stand on it, so it's not really a ladder. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef said, how about the other way around? How about if the ladder itself is like two tvachim, let's say, and you put a piece of straw sticking out on either side as an extension of the rung of the ladder. How about then? So mao. So for that, Rabbi said, that's okay. Because look, you can walk on the ladder, your feet go up the middle of the ladder, and as Rashi adds, the extension is not merely a joke like a Potemkin village. The extension can actually be held onto by your hands as you climb the ladder to give you extra stability. So in that sense, it really is something of a ladder. So that I would say, yes, that would be good enough. Inochinami. Okay, said Rabbi Yosef, how about if you didn't add anything to the ladder, but what you did is you had this ladder on the wall and you carved out a little bit into the wall to add to the ladder. Is the carved area an extension of the ladder or not? Now, remember, according to Shmuel, you would need, and Rabbi Yosef had indicated earlier that that's the way he was reading it, you would need for the wall to be at an angle because the ladder has to be at an angle. You can't be talking about a ladder that's flat up against the wall. Okay, so Tosus talks that out. I mean, according to him, we'd have to be, if you're not going like Rav, we're talking about a wall that's at like an angle. So you're climbing up a pyramid, let's say, right? And you put the wall, you put the ladder up against the edge of the pyramid, and then you dig into the sides of the pyramid, for which you're immediately thrown into prison. But anyway, but before you're thrown into prison, you dig in the side, and now you've got a ladder that is four tvachim wide. So how high on the pyramid do you have to do the extensions in order for it to be good? Well, Marley, you only need 10 tvachim. Because remember, if you've got an area that is 10 tvachim and it's 4 tvachim wide, and it started off with within lava to the ground, then that is a technical petach. All that it needs now is access. So even if the wall goes up much higher, the pyramid is, let's say, 40 feet, and you only have this tiny little one tefach wide ladder or a string, whatever, that's going to allow you to climb, that's okay. Because in this case, you have a true petach, which is 4 by 4 by 10. And that's a door. You say, I don't see the door. It's a halachic door. And then as long as you're able to get to where you need to get, you got there through a door, that would be okay. Okay, then Rav Yosef said, how about if the entire thing was carved? There is no ladder. There's no ladder at all. So then what do I need to do? How high do I have to carve it? How high? You have to get all the way to the top because you won't have access. That's a different issue. You don't only need a tefach, you need to be able to get there. If you're telling me there's no extension of the ladder that was too small to count as a petach, there's nothing at all, then you'd have to carve it out all the way up to the top, below komato. So why? Why was it good enough? In the first case, it was good enough for me to only go 10 tefachim, and now you're telling me I got to go the whole way. I says, Rabbi, what do you mean? What? It's obvious what the difference is. In the first case, there was a way to get there. Also, mitzdalekla, you can get to the top. But over here, if you don't carve out any of that pyramid, you're going to end up just slipping off. So what good is it? It has to have both components. But that doesn't mean that they are equal to one. And therefore, the difference is very clear. Up to the shear that it needs to be a petach, then you need to have all of the criteria for a petach. Where you're talking about the logistical access, it doesn't require the criteria for a petach, but it does require access. However, one without the other is insufficient. That's the point that Rabba is finally making over here, which clarifies the entire sugya. Bo'emine Reb Yosef bi Rabba. How about if you turned a tree into a ladder? Okay, so now that the tree, I understand you're not allowed to climb that tree on Shabbos, right? Okay, so here's my, now this really puts it into focus. You can't climb the tree, but the tree is there. And the tree, the reason you can't climb the tree is because there's an Isser D'Rabbanan to climb a tree on Shabbos, right? But the tree is indubitably there. So there is an opening. Now, there's no logistical opening at all, but this opening takes you all the way to the top of the wall. Now, what's the din over there? And I want you to understand, I am taking into consideration in my question all of the elements that I know you're going to throw at me. In other words, I'm saying like this. You can ask this question according to Rebbe. Remember Rebbe said before that the din is that you could put your Erev Tchumim in a tree. But the reason that he said you could put your Erev Tchumin in a tree is because an Erev Tchumin is chal immediately at the beginning of Shabbos Ben Hashmashos, and Rebbe holds that anything that was only Osir Midrabbanan is, come back, Kiki, you're supposed to be here, forget about school. So according to Rebbe, there would be no problem because during the Ben Hashmashos, you're allowed to climb the tree. But that wouldn't be true over here, as I'm going to show you. And I would ask this according to the Rabbanan, who said that an Erev Tchumim put in a tree is not good. And I'll tell you why. I'm asking this according to Rebbe, because Atkan Lokama Rebbe Yosam, the only reason that Rebbe allowed it over there was because of the klal of Rebbe, that anything that is only Yosam in a Rabbanan b'tam shvus, lo gazru alav ben hashmashot, right? But that's only where the only thing you need to talk about is ben hashmashot. But where you're talking about Eruv Chatzeros, over there you need to have access to the Chutz of the whole Shabbos, which is exactly why if it's movable, the ladder, we don't utilize it as a petach, because we don't see it as a real permanent connection. Over here, if you can't use it, so then maybe it doesn't count. Sekula Yumalo. Or I could say the other way around. I could say, even according to Rabbana, do we or do we not have a petach? Yes, I see it. It shows up in photographs. It actually can be touched, and you know that it's there. Now, the problem is you're saying, but you can't use it. What do you mean I can't? Of course I can use it. The only problem is there's a lion at the bottom of the stairway, and every time I get close, it goes, "Arr!" And over here, the lion is the Isser Derabbanan to climb it. But that's just the lion. A lion, or according to Akiva, a line, is something which is an external problem. I mean, just because you have an external, surely you're not going to tell me that just because a lion is crouched at the bottom of your doorway, that because of that, it's no longer considered to be a doorway between the two chatzeros. So that's what we have over here. We have a problem of an Aryeh Derevia Alet. So we've got this lion that's sitting there. And again, another question, which you think is the same question, but I'm going to show you it's not the same question. How about, forget about Shabbos, okay? You got a tree. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. I understand. How about if you make an Asherah a ladder? Nothing new with Shabbos. So now the Asherah is a tree that is worshipped as Avodah Zarah. It becomes Aser Bahana'ah. But it is, again, it's there. So now I'm asking you, the question is like this. And now, this is Nogea, another question that I'm going to share. I'm taking into consideration the other question. Remember, we had the machlokas about Reb Yudah and Rabbanan, about whether you make a Erev Tchumim in a graveyard. So over there, the question over is whether you can, according to Reb Yudah, who says that you're allowed to be kena a mokum that is isurei hanah. So over there, you're making mokum shvitz in a graveyard. The grave that is protecting your erev is osur ba'ana'ah. But Reb Yudah said over there that it's not considered to be a problem because the kinyan ha'erev is not viewed as ana'ah. What would be the ana'ah? The fact that it provides some element of protection by your putting it inside of that little candle thing or whatever, right? So it provides some protection. I don't care about the protection because I have no interest in eating my Erev afterwards. I just want it to be formally there so that I can continue walking. As far as the Etzem Kinyana Erev, Reb Yudah said, that's considered to be a mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav lehenot nitnu. So over there, lo nechale delinter, I don't have a need to actually make sure that the Erev is protected. So over here, however, an Erev Chatzeres gives me actual pleasure the entire time that I'm allowed to go in there, and I can go through the Erev to make a picnic and so on. Or maybe even the Rabbanan who say that it's also over there, a mutter, but over here it's okay because, in fact, it is there. It's just that the Asherah element of it is a lion. So there's a lion that's there, so maybe that's not a problem. So Rabbah said to him, he answered both questions. He said like this, a normal tree is mutter, but an Asherah is aser. Okay, so in other words, the normal tree, I'm going to tell you, even according to the Rabbanan, we view the issue of the Shabbos as being Aryeh, and therefore it's an external issue. Mashenkin, the Asherah, that is going to be aser, because over there, you're not allowed to use the tree at all. It has nothing to do with the time on Shabbos. Says Rav Chisda, exactly the opposite is much more logical. Adarabba. The din of Elon, that you're not allowed to go on the Elon, is itself a function of Shabbos, right? It's one of the dinim of Shabbos. So to say, I will make use on Shabbos of a gateway that is there, which by Shabbos orientation, in terms of that space of Shabbos, is not usable. So that I can say, what do you mean it's there? It isn't there in terms of Shabbos because of the Isser, so that which be Usser. Masha Inkin, the Asherah, which is Usser, which has nothing to do with the Isser Shabbos, there it's an external problem. So over there it's like a lion. But over here, you can't call an Isser Shabbos a lion in terms of the dinim of Shabbos. So maybe over there, lo nitzer. And as a matter of fact, in practical terms, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael over here to Bavel, he quoted Rebbe Elazar. Some say it was Rabbi Abu, quoted Rabbi Yochanan, that in fact, the answer to this question is that if the Isser involved is an Isser which itself is part of Shabbos space, so the Isser of Shabbos is Garam Lo, then it's Osir. If some external issue was at play, like the Isser of Avodah Zarah, Dover Acher, then it would be Mutter because then we view it as a lion. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, he said it like this. Ilan, the question of whether you can use the Ilan, that in fact is a machlokas Rebbe in the Rabbanan, and it depends if you hold that it's usable during Bein HaShemashos. So he holds that an Erev Chatzeros can also be defined Bein HaShemashos. Therefore, it's a machlokas Rebbe in the Rabbanan. When it comes to Asherah, that is the classic machlokas of Rebbe Yehuda in the Rabbanan when it comes to the use of the graveyard, and the Asherah is exactly the same issue. And now we are ready for the La Capitan. Go for it, Sir Richard. Charitz Sheben Shtei Chatzirot. So now we've been talking about a wall. Now let's talk about a ditch. So you have a ditch that totally separates two Chatzirot, and this ditch is 10 tvachim deep. It's more than 4 tvachim wide. If it's less than 4 tvachim wide, you could just simply easily step over it. So it wouldn't be considered to be a wall between them. So if it's there with the full 4 tvachim, you do not have an option of being ma'ariv with one erev, you're ma'ariv im shnayim. And this would be true even if you filled up this ditch with straw. Straw is usable as animal feed, and therefore, it's not considered to actually be there permanently. But if you filled it up with earth, you filled it up with gravel, so then you can only be ma'ariv with one, because it's as if that ditch isn't there. And you cannot be ma'ariv two, even if you want to. Now, how about if you make a little bridge over the ditch by taking a board, and the board is 4 tvachim wide, and you turn it into a bridge? Or we have the same exact issue, by the way. If you would have, let's say you would have 2 mirpesot. If you take a look at the mirpesot, basically, a mirpeset is nothing but something jutting out of a building. So let's imagine, this is the way that Rashi's others learn otherwise, but Rashi seems to learn the sugya, that you have 2 mirpesot that are along the line of a building. One of them sticks out from apartment 10. One of them sticks out from apartment 11. They look out against each other's mirpeset, but there's no way to jump from one mirpeset to the other one because you're too scared to fall down and kill yourself. So how about if you made a little bridge between the two mirpesot? In exactly the same way, you take a piece of wood, the same width of arba, you put it between the two mirpesot, and now you'd be able to walk from one mirpeset to the other. And you take this neser, that is roch of arba atvachim. Over there, you have the option because you made a doorway between you. And therefore, you can join if you want. And if you don't want, you can keep your own separate eruv. Because it's like a doorway. 4 tvachim wide daf is a doorway. But if it's less than 4 tvachim, then it's not a doorway, as we saw before. It's not a doorway in this case of the mirpesot, and it's not a doorway to cross the bridge as a bridge, so to speak, between the two chatzeras. So you're telling me, says the Gemara, that if I filled it in with straw, that's no good? Doesn't it say beferish in the next Mishnah that if you've got a haystack, and you put this haystack between two chatzerot, and this haystack is 10 tvachim high, so then it's a wall? And a wall means you can only have 2 separate Erevs. You can't be Ma'ariv. Now, so why is it a good Mechitza to separate them, but it's not a good Chatzitza, so to speak, to fill in the bar? I don't get it. Isn't it the same thing? Says the Gemara, it's not the same thing. When it comes to a Mechitza, remember that a Mechitza is defined as something that is there. Nothing else bothers me. We had earlier where you make a mechitza utilizing, you know, junk that you had on your animals, right? And you make your mechitza when you're camping out for Shabbos. And some of that mechitza is empty garbage pails and some of it is sack and whatever. That's a perfectly good mechitza. But when you're talking about a chatzitza, a chatzitza, in order to say there is no ditch here, has to be bottled to the ground, and only if you're mevatel it is going to be chotzeitz as filling it up, but if not, not. So then when the Mishnah said that if it's filled with dirt, it would be okay, but then that implies that even if you didn't say, I do hereby dedicate this dirt to filling up this charitz, that would still be fine, and that there's some kind of, by definition, difference between a straw and a dirt. So is that true? Afilu b'stama, even though we have no idea what the guy's plans are and he didn't say anything, doesn't it say, obviously, anybody learning Erevin is learning Eolais? And doesn't it say in the Mishnah of Eolais that in a case where you have a house that is filled with straw or with gravel, if you were mevatel it there and you said, I'm leaving it in the house, so then they fill up the house and it's no longer a halatuma, and therefore the if there's a mace in the house, the tuma is considered to be tuma ritzutza. So, but it says batel only if you're mevatel it. But if you were mevatel it, not. And here you're saying even if you just threw it down, that would be enough. Lo bitu lo. Amravuna, well, that's olos. You know olos. That's said by Reb Yossi, and that must be Reb Yossi shita. And over here we're going according to the Rabbanan.